Are you tired of looking out at the world and going, what the hell is going on out there? Have you been overcome with an absolutely irresistible urge to wash your potato? Well, I'll tell you what, you're at the right place. You've happened along with Tom and Ramon and the 100th Monkey Radio. Where's my yay, Ramon?
Yay! My thing is not recording for some odd reason.
Oh, well.
Gee, what a surprise.
Oh, I got it covered, Ramon. You can play with that.
Okay, yeah. Anyways.
Show for you guys tonight. We have Elizabeth with us as another co-host. And we have with us tonight Mr. George Kavassalis, who you guys...
Yay!
Hey, there you go. You guys all know by now some of who and what George is all about. And we're going to dig a little bit deeper into his material tonight. So, Ramon, did you want to... Oh, by the way, welcome, George.
Yeah.
Hey, how are you beautiful people?
Yeah, well,
so, George, we started, it's our morning time when we're recording this, and it's Tom's afternoon over there. Evening or afternoon?
Well, evening, yeah.
After evening?
Yeah, 5 o'clock.
Yeah, so anyway, the show started very interesting because I was talking to George about what fracking is, and for those of you who don't know what fracking is, it's when you put cohesive acid into the ground to get gases up. And one of the side effects of it is that it destroys the land, puts a lot of salt into the land, and Australia recently sold a lot of their property to China for fracking rights. So as I'm talking to George about this, all of a sudden everybody gets kicked off. Tom is having an episode with his Skype. And I can't record on my side of the show right now, so quite a coincidence, dinky, huh, George?
Yeah. What the frack?
What the frack is going on here?
And we're not talking Battlestar Galactica either.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, that's quite an interesting name for. I gotta look into it to see if it stands for anything, because. When you're fracking, you're really fracking the earth there, fracking Big Mama.
Yeah, that's right.
But
I'm always the one, yeah.
So what's going on with you, George?
Oh, quite a bit. It's exciting times, actually. And I'm in the process of writing a book for the first time in my life, and because I've barely read any. I'm not really much of a book person, but felt compelled after my world tour to come back and start writing to get information down on paper. So, and you know, it'll be an ebook as well. And I'm writing it in a way that's going to help get information across to the more general public. So there will be some new bits in there, but and maybe, you know, a perspective that people haven't heard me express before, but the information will be basically quite the same. But I'm excited because we really do need to start reaching to more people. So I'm not writing the book for the people that are already very familiar with my work. I'm actually writing it for more of a generalized sort of approach to the population.
That sounds really exciting.
I'm really glad to see you doing this, George. That getting that material in getting all the things that you've experienced and what you've learned down on paper, it's a whole new level for people to actually experience. There's so many people out there that will go to the bookstore and buy a book, but they won't sit and you know, listen to podcasts or you know what I'm talking about.
That's right. And then they can just, because, you know, reading words off paper isn't as hard on the eyes as it is at looking at a screen all the time. And some people prefer to curl up on the lounge or in bed and just pick up a book and start reading whenever they want. So they just still prefer that more organic, I suppose, relationship instead of with a piece of equipment, be it an iPad or a notepad or, you know, whatever they call them these days.
Yeah, I think actually reading print, I think that you absorb the information better too.
Yeah, I agree.
What I've tried a few times, and with certain books it helps, other books it doesn't, is putting it actually under your pillow. And supposedly, because the energy you put into writing the book, when you put it under your pillow, you absorb that energy.
Psychometry.
Bless you.
Psychometry is what it's called.
Oh.
That was good.
All right, let's get serious.
Oh, geez. Okay, well, George, let's start out with one of our listeners wrote me a pretty good sized email, had a few questions, and this has to do with free will. And let me just read a paragraph of what he wrote here, and I'll let you take it from there and see if you can't settle this for him. Explain it to him where you're coming from. The statement that there is no free will seems inconsistent with other statements such as, I am paraphrasing what I understood he said, we agreed to incarnate on Earth to have this experience and learn. We have a contract with other beings to role play for each other. A being chose to sacrifice and incarnate as the feminine Earth to provide us with a platform for this experience. We are to co-create whole universes at the time of the Earth's pole shift / ascension. We can choose between the originally intended organic timeline and the artificial intelligence created timelines. Some beings will choose to be rescued by ETs. And he says, George states he will choose to stay with Mother Earth during this process, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. He seems to emphasize individuality, the power of choice between different options, the ability to create, the ability to learn from experience, the ability to sacrifice, the ability to choose love, choose to love others even when they hurt us. None of this would be possible without free will. What do you think?
I totally understand where this person is coming from. It sounds like I'm completely contradicting myself. The point I'm trying to make is I'm not contradicting myself. I'm merely speaking from many different levels. I tend to speak in a multi-dimensional format, so when I talk about having the choice, when someone chooses to get on the spaceships in the near future for the harvest, or they choose to stay with Mother Earth, that choice is being made from the appearance or the illusion of having free will. From this aspect down here, the part of us that's in this reality, living this reality from the perspective of this reality. Now, what we call decision making, is really the ego coming to terms with a change of direction in life. Now, this is really getting into the real nitty-gritty of free will and the appearance and the illusion of decision-making, of choice. So when down here, I'll use me as an example. When George has to sit down and make a decision on this level of life and reality, having the experience here, I, as George, the earthly personality, the lower ego, is going through the experience of making a decision and having a choice. Now, the future's already happened from the bigger perspective of life. Past, present, and future all exist at the same time. So the future has already happened. So therefore, my illusionary experience, because, you know, this is the context I'm using the word illusion, is that I'm sitting down and I'm having a choice. I'm making a choice. My ego needs to have that experience. It's a multidimensional thing. So from the higher levels of self, the future's already happened. The decision's already been made. The part of me that's down here living this experience in a linear fashion is going through the experience of making a decision, having the choice. Ultimately, I don't have free will. But from down here, it appears as though I do have free will.
Now, is
multidimensional format.
Is there some latitude in say, I kind of pictured, say, a path that we're walking down, and say we're walking down this path in the middle of this big valley. Okay, our destination is the other side of this, of the valley, the other end of the valley, where the creek opens up into the ocean. Now, as I'm walking down this path, I know that that's my final destination, which would be the part that I see as not being, that has already been decided, the thing that's mm-hmm. already done. But mm-hmm. I see, is there the latitude, do you see that there is latitude to go off into the side with free will to experience certain things and then have, if you get too close, say you get too close to the sides of the valley or getting out of the valley, you get a nudge back towards the center. That's kind of how I see things.
That perspective is from the fourth dimensional cosmic mind perspective. Okay, so there's kind of like this intermediary perspective. When you go into the fifth dimension, when you go into the realm of the higher self, now I'm saying fifth dimension in the model of the universe according to George, okay?
Right.
So when you go into the higher, into the realms of the higher self and above, the future's already happened. So it doesn't matter what choice you think you are making, you're always going to make that choice regardless.
Hmm.
And so the part of us that wants to hold on to just the tiny thread and remnants of there's still choices that can be made that might alter our future, that we still have some sort of control, is the last bits of your ego still trying to hold on to thinking that it actually controls the course and destiny of your experience here. But ultimately, the whole thing was orchestrated from a higher aspect of yourself. So ultimately, you don't have free will at all. You're just living the illusion of having free will.
With that being said, what's your idea with, some people say that after 2012, that because once we cross that threshold, we'll start experiencing time at a different, in a different yeah. way. Do yeah. you see that that's what's one of the things that is happening to us? Like our brain would start conceiving it differently.
It does. Mine is. I'm already having those sorts of experiences. I went through incredible, times of me having to release and surrender control of this life to the greater me. The moment you start doing that, this incredible flow of synchronicity starts to occur, because symbiotically, while I'm appearing as though I'm making choices here, and look, there's still times that even though because I fluctuate out of this higher knowing and the part of me that's just George here in this reality living the experience. So there's times when I feel my higher self pull back and I'm not in the higher self aspect of myself anymore, and I'm left here to make a decision. Even though there's a part of me intellectually that knows I've already made the decision, the future's already happened, I've still got to go through the process of making the decision here. So it's, for me, that's how I'm experiencing it. But I'm also at peace with whatever's going to be in the future. I know that I created for myself. So the whole process, the whole crux of the conversation and the argument I'm putting forward is that it is really down to you reconnecting with yourself, understanding the different levels of self and how you interact with this reality, this level of reality, and how everything around us is interacting with us, and how everything is structured. Like, this is really knowing self, really knowing this reality, and really knowing those around you. And this is part of the process of awakening, of the veil lifting. This is what happens to you.
Okay. So I'm going to use this analogy because I cook a lot. We want to cook a meal. Let's say we want to make barbecue ribs.
Yeah.
And what we do is we start reading about it, and we read about making barbecue ribs, yet we never sit down and start making it. Is this from the – I'm trying to understand why we come down to experience if we know everything. So if we already know what's going to happen but we haven't experienced it, is it the same as reading about making barbecue ribs, but it's not the same when you sit down and you start making, you're like, oh, and you make the little mistakes here and there, and you adjust the recipe to make it better. You might overcook it, dry it. So is it the same way from the spirit point of view, that it knows what's happening, but it hasn't experienced it, so it hasn't gotten that knowing? Or am I completely off?
No, you're right on the mark. And to use another analogy, again, food related, you and I must really like our food. you go into a restaurant and you do it with an invisible cloak, and you look at the menu, you look at the people, you observe the food coming out, you can somewhat have a bit of a smell of the environment, not very much though, and you look at the menu, you see the prices, the food on offer, and you see the people's reactions and everything, and then you walk out. And that is your essence or your spirit that is looking at this reality and considering having an incarnational experience. Now, it's a big difference going from that to actually having an incarnational experience. You walk into the restaurant, you order the food, and you eat the food. That level of experience is different. And also when you're in spirit form, you can also experience it through other people. But then you're experiencing it from their perspective and their journey in the universe and where they're at. The culmination of all their experiences to date, which each person's pathway has been different. So until you personally experience it, until you engage, have an incarnational experience and do it for yourself, you'll never really, really know.
So it's the same as you're telling us about your personal experience. And for those of you who don't know George, have quite a remarkable life. It's the same way. You've experienced all these things, but yet I would never understand what you're really talking about until I experience something sure. similar.
Yeah, just like when someone's been raped, for example. Until you've been raped, you don't know what it's like to be raped. Sorry to put a real heavy one in there, but I'm trying to use a common one in our society. Or someone who's just lost someone close to them. Until you've gone through that experience, you don't really know what it's like. You can get a bit of an idea. You can read books about it. You can watch movies. You can really see what people's feelings are like. You can be as empathetic as possible and feel their emotions around the situation. But until it happens to you personally, you never really know.
Yeah. Wow. So
so you can be out there on spirit level, dancing around in on spirit level, experiencing life for everybody else, but until you come down and do it for yourself, you'll never really know.
So it's that whole saying, you don't know a man until you walked into his shoes.
Exactly.
I kind of segue a little bit, but this might tie in here in a little bit here. So this is I'm referring to your metaphor. The way metaphors come through in spirit communication and your higher selves, the way they work through visions and images that are symbolic in nature that are intended to convey some deeper meaning. So. Mm. Now, I've been looking at a lot of the different people that are out there doing oh my God. So, and I'm seeing some of these people's visions and images that they're putting out. I'm seeing differently than the way that they personally have been interpreting him. I'm seeing him more in a metaphorical sense. For instance, there's been people that have been talking about a wave, a tsunami that's going to hit the east coast of the United States. And when I first heard this one, first thing that popped into my head was, well, there's already a wave hitting there. Look at this. Wall Street thing. This is a wave of consciousness. This is a wave of a change in consciousness, and not a literal wave that is crashing in onto the East Coast. It's going to totally change the landscape. That's what this one in particular was saying. And then the next thing, it was, anyways. So referring back to what you're talking about with the sun, the earth turning into the sun. Now, when I hear this, I tend to look at it in a metaphorical sense, as far as I see that bright light and change, maybe the consciousness of the planet stepping up a notch or 10. And actually that unity consciousness, when that hits here, the things that are going to be possible here will, science fiction can't do it justice. So.
Agreed.
You know, I have to add something here, is that recently, and I'm talking like the last 2 months or so, I've been getting this real intense kind of feeling, and just kind of like a communication from Mother Earth about her contemplating continuing five-dimensional and above life on her body. And, you know, I don't know, you know, it isn't in line, but it feels like something has shifted, like particularly in the last few days, where I feel like, and I don't know if I'm just being sensitive to this or not, but there's been a massive shift in awareness within mankind, within humanity. And yeah. I mean, I've literally been seeing like mirroring faces of people awakening in the blink of an eye. I mean, I was having visions of just, you know, cities and towns and countries and, you know, lighting up, you know, and really feeling that intensely. So I don't know if that has relationship to what Tom is bringing up or not, but.
It does. It does have a relationship, I feel. And also, I just want to say, when you look at the higher realms, why do we call them the higher realms? Why don't we see them in our visual spectrum? Why don't we experience them the way we experience this reality? It's because they're vibrating in a higher frequency. So that's where this planet is heading. So eventually it's going to get to the point where, and I feel it's going to happen sooner rather than later, it's going to get to the point where this reality is going to be vibrating at such a high rate,
right,
that from the lower domains of the universe, it's going to be looked upon as a body of light.
Right.
Right.
I go ahead, Elizabeth.
Thanks, Ron.
So that's the perspective. That's where I'm coming from when I talk about the sun, the Earth becoming a star.
Yeah.
It's not just metaphor. It's also, there's a realistic process to this. There's a physical nuts and bolts process to this as well. Now, how that happened, maybe I haven't got it quite right, but for me, I'm still speaking from my heart and what I feel is going to happen. I just cannot see the bit that I'm still like really, really deeply entrenched in, is that I just cannot see Mother Earth, because, you know, every time I speak to her, I get the same thing. I cannot see how she wants to continue to have a natural environment on her body that's completely barbaric. Everything's killing everything. Everything's totally consumeristic. You know, so how is that going to transform?
Yeah.
So I put my case forward as to a way that I feel that it may happen. It's how I felt at the time. It's how I still feel today. Is it going to happen? It might not happen that way, you know. For me, I just feel that eventually that has to go. For me, it makes no logical, rational sense at all that we could be an enlightened bunch of beings walking around in an environment that's totally barbaric. It's not a frequency match. So I'm just trying to be realistic about this, not ideological. And I'm not looking at just us as a human race. I'm looking at our natural environment we're immersed in. I'm looking at the planetary consciousness, the star system, you know, and the galaxy and the greater cosmos. So I want to bring everything into consideration here. And that's why I say the things that I say. It's more, you know, in every reality that I have traveled to, there's always the vibrational, it's how the universe is structured. Every domain, every reality, every planet, every star system, you go to Mars, Mars is a different vibration. It has a different set of energetic patterns. The consciousness that is Mars is different. It's a different being to this one. So you, the whole experience you have there is different. You go to another star system, it's different. You go into another frequency, a higher dimension, it's different. That natural environment meets the requirements of that frequency spectrum.
You go to another...
You know what I'm saying?
You go to another country and it's a different frequency.
And yeah, you just go to another country, it's different.
Yeah.
So when this planet changes, well, it's in the process of changing, but it's heading towards a frequency spectrum that's going to facilitate complete harmony with life around us. Nothing's going to be killing anything. Nothing's going to be consuming anything. And it's not being ideological. It's actually the intention of this planet to achieve that. It was the intention of my essence to come here to achieve that. I don't know about you guys, but this is what I wanted to achieve by incarnating here. What did you want to achieve by incarnating here? Mm. See? So what are the intentions of the consciousness of this planet? What did she want to achieve by manifesting herself as this planet to begin with? What is her end goal, you know?
Sounds
or the
like,
next step in her journey?
It sounds like patience to me.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
From her point of view, I don't know if I would have the patience to put up with the BS.
So, George, I have a question on that too. So I fully agree with you with regard to the third dimensional reality on Mother Earth. I was more thinking about the five dimensional existence and how you'd mentioned that after 3 months, you know, everyone would have to leave. You know, after December 21st, 2012, everyone would have to leave so that she could go through the full ascension. So what I was kind of feeling into was that she was contemplating carrying five dimensional. Do you see that as, how does that sit with you? Do you see that as a possibility?
How I see it is that she wants to implode all her dimensions and become the expression of universal light one domain.
I see.
That's my understanding of it.
I want to run a dream by you really quick, and I said to Tom a couple of days ago. So I'll make it really quick. I was in the dream. I was shopping here in Japan, and I go to this place where they have like rocks and minerals and stuff like that. And what's that rock called again, Tom?
Geode. It's one of those rocks that you cut in half and has all the crystals lining the interior.
It's like a purplish color.
Yeah.
As I'm looking at the rock in the dream, it has two sides. Someone like carved a drawing into it. On one side is the left eye of a person, the right ear, and the mouth. There's like a laser shooting out of it. On the other side is the continuation of it, but now it's both eyes, the third eye, the mouth, and the ears. And on the third eye coming from the top of the forehead, there's like three cracks, and you could see light was coming out of it. And the way I looked at the dream was either – that's our evolution that I was seeing as our light is cracking through this physical form, or my own personal evolution.
I'll say both.
Yeah.
I'd say both. Because this reality, the veil between this level of reality and the higher frequencies is getting thinner and thinner. You see, what they're doing is they're tightening the clamps. As this energy is coming forth from a subatomic level, we're awakening from within, and the reality here is changing from inside itself. So from a subatomic level, these frequencies are pushing up and pushing up and pushing up, and they're coming to the fore. And the forces of limitation are tightening the clamps. They've put into place the most advanced technology the universe has to offer. So they're trying to stop and impede that energy, that light energy, from coming to the fore and transforming everything. And so it's creating a pressure cooker situation. And I call it the big squeeze. which, you know, we want them to do this from a high level, believe it or not. We contracted them to come here and do this to us so we can create the situation of maximum compression, because that's what we needed to reintegrate all our fragmented aspects. So the big squeeze is happening, and it's really testing times for everybody. But also what's happening is the matrix is cracking, and that light is coming through the cracks. It is, and they can't hold on for much longer. So I don't see this process happening over a long period of time. They're holding on for all it's worth. And I say to people, you know, if you think it's going to happen over a long period of time, it's going to be long and drawn out over, you know, decades and centuries, you've lost touch with your dark side. You've forgotten how the forces of limitation behave and how they function. They're not going to let go to the most powerful energetic feed they've ever had in all of creation. There's no way they're going to do that. So they're going to hold on for all they're worth, because they don't know anything else. And they're going to hold on. And it's increasing pressure and pressure. And soon the thing's just going to pop. And then it's all just going to happen real fast.
So is it – because I remember hearing that the sun is no longer making a – what is it, carbon 7? That is now –
on to C12, yeah.
Yeah, so – That's part of it, and then there's these other energies that are coming in that even scientists are saying that it looks like it's transmuting things.
Yeah, it is. It's the whole reality is already metamorphosizing. It literally is happening. And that C12 that they're measuring, that's the residue. It's like when you have a UFO hovering up in the sky, and then this cloud forms around it. Well, that's the way this level of reality is reacting to the energetic residue that's bleeding into this level of frequency. And so the C12 that they're measuring is the higher energies and the residue of that bleeding into this level of reality. It's the same if you were to go back in time and stand around an avatar. When they had the halo around their head, for example, and around their body, then that what you'd be measuring is C12 around that person, because it's the residue. It's the way this reality reacts to the energy that's bleeding into this level of reality from another realm.
Yeah. There's a lot, man, there's just so much happening right now. The changes are amazing.
It is. The proof is there. The scientists, we listened to one lady recently, Jennifer Joy Renison, I think her name was,
Susan.
Who did a talk.
It's Susan Joy.
Susan Joy Jennifer, is it?
No,
Susan Joy Renison.
Yeah.
Renison, that's it. I listened to one of her talks recently. It was fantastic to actually hear it from a scientist, to hear just how far in advance they are with the knowledge of the changes that are occurring. It was really fantastic.
Yeah, it changed my life when I saw that.
Yeah, they are really, really in the know. So it's much further down the track than anybody's been led to believe.
We're having, just on the personal level, people are having some just absolutely amazing things happen. I mean, I think that all started first before the actual physical manifestation in the world of the changes, these types of changes. Started seeing everybody quote unquote wake up and start having these mystical, magical things happen in their lives on a regular basis. I mean, you know, the synchronicities are there's no way to deny them. You know, especially when your mind is open and your heart is open to actually, as long as your heart's open to self-improvement, I want to do better. I want to see myself. I want to look in the mirror and say, I love you and mean it. As soon as people start doing that, the magic starts.
It is. And can I just interject there? Because I want to add this point. The foundation to all of that occurring, Tom, is people have got to be prepared to change.
Oh, absolutely.
Sorry, go on.
I was going to say, I don't know if this happened to you in your personal life, but at least for me and Tom, and I've heard a lot of speakers say about it. Sometimes you don't even want to change. Sometimes life hits you so hard across the chin that it doesn't really give you much of a choice. Mm-hmm. Oh, you don't want to change, and then it hits you in the groin. Oh, you don't want to change, and it hits you on the head. You know, it's just. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah. Look, you know, my ego as George was dragged kicking and screaming because I didn't want to change. I knew everything. I was in control. And I'm a Leo. I'm a male. And, you know, I've got this massive ego thing happening. And it was tough. It was tough for me to release and surrender control of this life to the greater me. It took a while. And so all the signs were there. And like Ramon just said, if you don't read the signs early on and do it peacefully, you're going to be kicked in the head. You're going to be kicked in the guts. You're even going to be kicked in the groin if necessary to get your attention. And that change will be forced upon you whether you want to or not. So, you know, again, that free will thing comes into question because there's a process here. It's bigger than your earthly ego. And we're not in control of this place. We think we are, but we're not. And we need to go with the flow. Otherwise, it's going to get really painful.
I keep having this dream since I can remember. And I don't fully understand it. So I'm seeing myself playing like a game. And I don't know how to explain it. Because it's so beyond my 3D understanding. It's almost like I'm looking down into a wall from a higher level. And I see myself reacting to all these different things. And I know it's a game. So when I wake up, I don't fully understand what just happened. But I know that I knew a lot more than I understand right now, this moment. Mm. So I almost feel like that's a glimpse from my higher self. So I'm somewhat understanding what you mean, that your higher self is seeing all these different versions of what you're choosing. It's going, no, dummy. This way.
Yeah, that's a really, really good analogy. And like a character in a computer game, and you're out here and the character's in there, and yeah, and it's like your character in there taking control of the game and thinking it's in control there, but really you're the one who's controlling it from out here. And that's kind of a good analogy to use of the higher self to the lower ego.
Yeah. So do you feel that every mind, it's its own reality? So how...
Go on.
No, okay. I'll give you a quick story, and I know I'm full of stories today.
I was going to say you're full of something else, but that's, you know...
Frack! The story really quickly. I went to Iseti the first time, 2009, and I experienced seeing this woman. Her name is Miriam Delgado, and she was giving a talk there. And the people listening to the show know the story. And then the next year, and then I spoke to her as well. And the next year, I said, "Oh, how come you guys didn't invite her?" And everybody's telling me that she never went. So we interviewed her, and I. Hello.
Hello.
Going into that.
Did we lose you, Tom?
No, I'm here.
Oh, okay. So.
So what? Hello?
Everybody said that.
Hello?
Yeah. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You dropped out for a moment, American.
Yeah. Supposed to tell this story?
You said, so everybody said. And then.
Everybody said that she wasn't there. And then I, when I spoke to her, I asked her, and she said, no, I wasn't there. But she says that people say that that happens often. So I'm trying to understand what happened, because in my reality, I spoke to this woman. I know about her because I saw her talk, yet in everybody else's reality, it never happened. So did I jump timelines? Did what, in your point of view, happen there? Or am I just nuts?
Wow, that's a huge one. So you're saying that you went to a city, saw a speaker, and then since that experience, the speaker themselves and everybody at city saying that that didn't actually happen.
Only one person said that they remember listening to a show saying that she was on there. Only one other person. So I don't feel completely nuts, but she says that people say that about her a lot. where they experience meeting her and being with her when she's not even close to the area. But wow. She has no memory of it, and nobody else does. So I'm wondering, what happened? Did I jump timelines?
Oh man, no! I'm going somewhere else with this, and it ain't good. Wow. Okay. That could be the possible. Look. That could be a possible scenario. I'm going somewhere else with it in my mind. So yeah.
So if you,
I'm heading more towards a. The question that I need to ask you first is, do the people at a SETI recall you being at a SETI? Because I remember seeing you on tape sitting on a chair as cars were driving past, and you were talking about a tough time in your life earlier on in your life that you had to go through.
Oh, that was your second trip to a SETI.
That was your second trip to a SETI. Yeah,
everybody remembers me being there, and I have photos and so everybody remembers me being there.
They just don't remember the speaker.
The speaker. And when I was talking to her, the other two guys don't remember that either.
Yeah, that's actually that piece of evidence you've just given me now actually solidifies where my thought processes have gone and where my intuitive feelings are going.
Which is?
That was that really Miriam that you saw?
So
there's one we haven't considered, Ramon.
Yeah, so I was talking to a being?
You were talking to either a shape-shifting being or a clone, or if you didn't feel the person, you didn't touch her, it could be a hologram or it could be an... I'm not trying to screw with your head. I'm just trying to put up a possible scenario. That's all I'm going to say is a possible scenario, because, you know, there's a lot of strange things going on in this world, and I know the technologies that are available and the things that they're capable of. And, you know, it's like if you want to tell me that that was Saddam Hussein got hanged by those bunch of guys, you've got to be kidding me. You know, like, what a joke. He certainly was not hanged. That was an actor. They have clones. They have actors. I mean, no, I just, that's all too freaky for me. I would say that Miriam must be doing something right if they're going to go to the lengths and to copy her. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
that's a big call. Sorry to cut in again, but that's a big call that I'm making. Yeah. And all I'm saying is there's something's not quite right there, because my intuition is telling me that you didn't jump timelines. My intuition straight ahead went to that she's being doubled. And it probably, if she doesn't want to entertain that idea, then, you know, because it would hurt. Like if someone was doubling me, I'd be really concerned. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But it wouldn't surprise me if that was going to happen either, you know, because of the level of technology they have. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
It doesn't surprise me. It actually sounds more sensible. But at the same time, if it wasn't for that, I would never know who she is, and we would never interviewed her. So
maybe it was somebody that duplicated her or projected that on the positive side of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
it doesn't have to be a negative thing, that's for sure.
You know, George, the more I get into this, the bigger my I don't know bag gets.
It's true, Ramon. The more I know, the more I realize I don't know.
I don't know, frack. So, Elizabeth, you had a bunch of questions. Jump in at any moment. Don't be shy.
Yeah, well, you were talking about, you know, whether or not it was a time anomaly. And, you know, I actually just went through this period of time the last 2 months, 3 months, where I was having some really, and it was small stuff. It wasn't like yours, Ramon, you know, where I never unbuckle my shoes. I've gotten the leather to a point where it's stretched out where I don't have to unbuckle them. So, you know, I'm lazy like that. And, you know, I went to put on my shoes and they were unbuckled. And I was like, I could see, you know, my more sensible side when I was younger doing that, but not now, you know. And but it was really kind of a poignant moment, you know, or like put aside some laundry the night before and then it was folded. I didn't fold it, you know, stuff like that, where it's like, am I losing my mind or what? And this was all culminating into a complete transformation of my consciousness, going from enlightenment into, you know, being, you know, where I was talking to higher self, and it was like I was in the flow of life every single day, you know. So it was during this time, and I couldn't keep track of anything. If I'd had a job that required any mental capacity, I would have probably been fired. I mean, I just couldn't think, you know, I couldn't keep straight. And I bring this up because I think that this is something that, you know, I'm feeling this mass awakening happening, and I feel like this is something that is part of the process that people need to hear about, you know, that you're not going crazy, you know?
Yeah, it's the way we're experiencing this reality. It's really fluctuating, isn't it?
It sure is.
So I just want to say, also back to the Miriam thing, I'm not here to denigrate Miriam in any way, so... I don't want to be taken out of context with the comments I made prior, but there's something very unusual about that experience you had, Ramon, and it ties in. Yeah, that's a really good one. That's a seriously good one. That one needs to be explored further. And these little anomalies, like Elizabeth just said, that we're having, you know, small ones within our homes, within our lives. Yeah, they're kind of really good messages, aren't they? They really stir the mind and the awakening process. I kind of like it when those sort of little things happen. We had my kids and I, and my mum was over, and we're looking for a football, an AFL ball here for the boys and I to have a kick around. We couldn't find it, and it was in their bedroom. And the bedroom was, you know, it's not a big room. So where's this football gone? Because it was just lying on the ground. And we looked all over the house. And we looked and looked and looked and looked, and five of us went into the bedroom to have a look for it and couldn't find it. And I just walked past the room, and there it was, just lying in the middle of the room.
Yeah.
So after half an hour looking for it, there it just reappeared. And I picked up the ball, and I thought, okay, who's doing this? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's and, such a common.
I showed my kids and my mum. I said, look, there it is. And they're like, no way, you know, we all walked in the room and looked for it, and there it is on the floor. No way. So I held the ball and I said, okay, who is it? And it was my auntie, my mum's sister, who'd passed over, who wanted to get my attention, our attention. So we're sitting down there and I'm talking to my auntie who'd passed over and, you know, talking about mum's childhood and things that they experienced when they were growing up back in Egypt and things my mum had never shared with me. And it was just totally, you know, it was a really, really beautiful moment. And she told me that she's back in the Pleiades, that she's Pleiadian, and, you know, that she had a really good time here. She learnt a lot from this life on Earth, and all is well. It was really quite an amazing experience. So I'm just saying with people that sometimes these little anomalies that we have occurring in our homes are friends and family that want to get our attention, and not necessarily friends and family that we experienced here on this realm, but it could be your, you know, your galactic star family or a spiritual family or something just trying to get your attention as well, or just letting you know that they're there by helping you out with the laundry.
Yeah. So have you experienced any time shifts or time slips or anything like that yourself?
Yeah, the most prominent one was in this real... Oh, well, I've had ones where I was driving across the Hay Plain here in Australia, which is, you know... Yeah, yeah. As far as you can see, the way it's just, everything's just totally flat, and the road is straight, and you drive for a few miles and 100 kilometres, and you might get a little bend in the road, you know. So it's a pretty big area, and I remember having a massive time lapse crossing that plane in the early hours of the morning, you know, like 2-3 in the morning. So I had good 3-4 hours of missing time. And little ones too, like it's kind of like that movie Sliding Doors, where I actually was at my home and I locked the door and I walked back, and then all of a sudden my this energy came over me, and I went back and checked that the door was locked. I'm going, why am I doing this? I was actually literally walking back to the door and I'm saying, why am I doing this? I've just locked it, but I still felt the need to do it. So I walked back and I checked the door, and that took up about 5 seconds of my time. And then I hopped in my car and I went to drive out like I normally did. And I drove up this hill on, and I was heading towards a right-hand bend, and we drive on the left-hand side of the road. And this car came screaming around that bend, went way over to my lane and swooped back and just missed me. So if I was 5 seconds ahead of time, we would have had a head-on collision.
Ooh, wow.
Wow.
So that was really a readjustment in the Matrix, do you know what I mean, to change the course and destiny of my life here in the Matrix. So that was from a high level, making sure that I'm sticking to my path. So these are the sort of things that can occur in our lives, yeah.
You know, George, that story is when my daughter was born, my mother-in-law had come down. This is back in 1983. My mother-in-law had come down for the first week when she was born to help out with the baby and stuff. So we took and dropped her off at the airport. And when we got back in the car, I started driving off and it was like, no, we need to move the car seat. So I stopped. I got out of the car, moved the car seat into a different seat and buckled it all in and everything. And then we took off, got on the freeway. And about 10 miles down the road, there had been some guy had an epileptic seizure and come across a median, hit head on into a car that was this thing was like 2 minutes in front of us. If I wouldn't have stopped to get that, move that car seat, I would have been right there.
Wow.
So, I mean, that one right there had that kind of impact on me. It's like, wow, that was just weird.
And you know it too, don't you? You really know that would have been you. It's not, oh, that could have been. You know that would have been.
Yep.
It's a deep knowing. And then you realize what you'd just done moments before, which puts you back in time. So now whenever I drive along and a truck pulls out in front of me and I get held up in the traffic, the first thing I say is, okay, I'm being readjusted in the Matrix.
Yep.
It's not, oh, you asshole, get out of my way, you know, you're holding the traffic up, come on. It's none of that. It's okay. The first response is, I'm being readjusted in the Matrix.
Yeah. You know, that with my driving, I've taken a completely different view, especially more so in the last couple of years, about my patience, about traffic, and just not worrying about it anymore. It's like, okay, I'll get there when I get there.
Yeah, flow.
Yeah, exactly. Beautiful. Just flow.
Yeah. Before I get into the next question, how's time, Tom?
We've got about 5 minutes, then we need to do our wrap up.
Wow, that was fast.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, George, stop.
We just went through a time warp, right?
Yeah. Stop speeding up time, there, George. So, since we got 5 minutes. Where can people find you at? Where are you going to be doing any talks soon? Any other interviews?
Oh, I've got other interviews coming up, but they're being posted. I don't know if they're being posted on my website, but the newsletters are going out for those. So if people want to get onto the website and sign up for the newsletter, they're welcome to do that. It's not a very difficult process, and everything's, secrecy is very important for us, for people. So none of their information goes out to any other agencies or whatever. So they can get that information that way. But, yeah, I'm just doing the odd interview, continuing just to plug away and write my book. And it looks like next March, we're aiming to organise a tour next March. And also we might be heading overseas again middle of next year. So we'll see what happens. We're in the process of manifesting that. And we'll just get to see what happens. So the information they can find is on my website, which is our-journey-home.com or our-journey-home.com, depending on which way you like to say it.
So how's the book coming along? When can we expect to see that?
Yeah, I'm hoping to get it done by the end of the year or early next year. I really want to have it done definitely by the end of January. So it's I want to have it out by then.
You're not done yet, George? Are you done yet?
No, I'm still writing.
Are you done yet?
Hurry up, George. Hurry up.
Are we there yet? George. Are we there yet?
Yeah. As soon as you get that done, we'll definitely have to have you on again. Yeah.
Thanks, man.
I'm sure we'll have you on before that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's always fun. Always fun. And Tom, And Elizabeth, oh, so good meeting you both over at Aceti. It was it brought joy to my heart. And Ramon, I hope one day that we get to give each other a good shake of the hand and a good man love hug.
Definitely. And the funny thing is that we're, what, 6 hours away from each other?
6 hours, mate, yeah. It's not that far, really, is it?
No, not at all. Because when I lived in the States, I used to always think, Australia, wow, it's a whole day away. But now it's like, oh, it's not that far.
Yeah. No, it's not that far. No.
So in the second hour, we want to jump into Twin Flames and go over our mine and Elizabeth's experience here, which has been quite remarkable a little bit. And I want to pick your brain on what you know about that. And plus we've got plenty more to go over, I think.
Future settings and history of Mars a little bit.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay. Thank you, George, for listening. Go ahead.
Let's let George. George, you want to leave our BBS listeners with any parting comment?
Whatever plays out on the planet in the near future, if it happens soon after this interview or it doesn't, it really is a matter of any day now. So what I say to you is hold your integrity, be true to yourself, respect your sovereignty, and try not to be lured by others. Really follow what you have deep inside of you. And the best way to deal with it is to have some popcorn in the cupboard. And when the show begins, just sit back and watch the show and try not to get emotionally drawn into the drama vortex that will be created on a global scale. And just be careful. Be careful of the mind control programs that will be attempted or come out through every orifice, media orifice on the planet. So please be aware of that and know that you have the power. You certainly do have it all within you.
Yay! Okay. So make sure you catch Brooks Agnew's coming up next, and then pop over to the archives if you're not a member yet. Make sure you become a member. Mr. Tom?
Condemnation without investigation is the height of ignorance, and we love you guys.
Walk around the alleyway. You see the homeless people with